On the show today, we have NatCuso's President and CEO, Jack Antonini, and Messick Lauer and Smith's partner, Brian Lauer, talking about the NCUA's proposed expansion of the CUSO powers. We learn all the ins and outs of it. Just really great stuff here from Jack and Brian, so check it out. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Welcome to our show. We have two of our favorite recurring guests, Mr. Jack Antonini from NatCuso there right next to me. Jack, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Mike. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Appreciate it. And then right below us is Mr. Brian Lauer from Messick Lauer and Smith. Brian, how are you down there with all those books behind you?
Doing great, Mike. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, we're talking today about the expansion of the CUSO powers proposed by the NCUA. And to kind of refresh folks here, Jack, I'm going to start with you. Can you share with us NCUA's proposed expansion of the CUSO powers? What are they and what does this mean to the industry?
Certainly. Yeah, what has happened in the past for CUSOs to be able to be involved in helping credit unions with lending, the NCUA has added very specific items to the list of activities that they could do. So mortgages, business lending, credit cards, and student loans were the only authorized activities in the lending arena where CUSOs were allowed to be able to help credit unions. All those, frankly, made a lot of sense because they're areas that require specific expertise, economies of scale really help, you know, things like that. And it would be difficult for most credit unions to be involved in those, especially when you think of like member business lending, you know, with the cap on loans, you can't really develop enough volume to really have the expertise in-house. So sharing that expertise makes sense. And same thing even in the mortgage arena, you know, where, you know, volumes are up and down and they vary from area to area in the country. So those things have just kind of naturally made sense, you know, for CUSOs to be able to help credit unions. And we've been talking to the NCUA for several years about expanding the lending powers for CUSOs, basically to be able to bring in the types of benefits that CUSOs bring to credit unions to all types of loans that credit unions are able to make. Because they do bring significant economies of scale. They're able to leverage technology investments so that every credit union doesn't have to do it on their own. They can come together through a CUSO and be able to get a new innovative solution that they can offer to their members. Plus, it helps in terms of, you know, both sharing expertise and sharing risk, you know, to be able to work together through an organization, a CUSO, that credit unions own. So that's kind of the background, if you will. So it's something we've talked to the NCUA about all the way back to when Chairman Natz was chairman.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it goes all the way back. I've got a letter from her way back in 2015 saying that she thought this made sense and she asked the staff to work on it. And we've had just, you know, changes in the NCUA board, and you know, that always delays things because new board members need to get up to speed and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's just been a few other things happen along the way, like a pandemic, you know, that kind of
just something minor like that. Gosh.
You know, so the NCUA board, at their January board meeting, decided to go ahead and actually authorize CUSOs to be able to do all types of loans that federal credit unions are authorized to make. So that way, CUSOs, where it's appropriate, can bring the economies of scale and the other benefits to credit unions throughout the industry. So we're very happy about that. We think it makes a lot of sense. We think it'll help credit unions and their members over the coming years.
Yeah, I want to segue from that to you, Brian. It's like, so what does this mean for new CUSOs or even established ones in the lending arena? If this goes, I know we're kind of in the 30-day comment period right now. So, but what does this mean for CUSOs moving, if it moves forward?
Yeah, so it's actually a pretty exciting thing for CUSOs moving forward. Right now, as Jack had mentioned, there's only a handful of individual loan types that CUSOs can originate and hold today. Mm-hmm. And this would expand the powers to be able to allow CUSOs to make all types of loans that credit unions make. And really, as Jack had mentioned, this helps facilitate the lending process. The biggest piece, I think, is with this new rule is what it will allow CUSOs in the lending, in all lending arenas, to do what they're already doing in the mortgage lending space, mm-hmm. and the business lending space. And that is be able to help ease the process of lending for credit unions. Right now, like take auto lending as an example. Right now, credit unions, most of their auto lending comes through indirect lending, mm-hmm. as you know. And that's a really cumbersome and difficult process. And CUSOs have stepped in to help facilitate that process. But one of the issues is that it's ease of use. All of those loans need to be closed and then assigned to credit unions immediately, which means that those dealerships and retailers, for example, have to have the ability to have relationships directly with the credit unions. If we insert this lending authority for CUSOs, we allow those CUSOs to now be the sole party that is dealing with the dealerships, allowing them to not have the cumbersome nature of saying, hey, now you have to choose from 1,000 credit unions to, you know, to figure out which one the borrower is a member of and you will and will hold the loan. What happens is the CUSO can facilitate that lending process much easier and then allow for the CUSO to handle all the back office and actually get that loan on the credit union's books without bothering the retail process, or bothering the whole retail process while they're doing that, right? So an example is that is you have a lot more of these more national lenders that are coming into, again, the auto space as an example, right? I mean, Carvana, Vroom, you hear all these things, right? And then even, you know, your big box stores are getting in the mix too, like Costco and and the like, right? You can buy cards.
I get emails every day from Costco. Oh my God.
So, and a lot, in a lot of ways, members and a good service to members is not, is it, or I should say these services are actually good for consumers and members, right? I mean, they don't want to go to dealerships. They don't want to haggle over prices. They don't want to deal with that whole rigmarole. So in steps like a Costco or Vroom or something of the sort, and they're now doing all of that for you. And it's sort of a, you know, like a concierge kind of service.
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, CUSOs are going to have trouble if we don't get this rule in place. CUSOs are going to have trouble to continue facilitating loans for credit unions, because where do credit unions fit in that scenario I just described? One credit union is not going to be able to go to the, you know, Costco and say, hey, we want to get we want to be a lender on your system. And Costco is going to say, what's this membership thing? We don't want to deal with that. We don't want to have to be concerned with whether a customer of ours is a member at your credit union and how we figure that out. But if we have a CUSO in between, and that CUSO can actually be the originator of the loan, now it can have that relationship with a Costco or a Vroom or something of the sort, and still in the end get those loan assets on credit union books. So it really is an exciting thing for CUSOs to have this rule proposed.
Yeah, and sticking with that example, Brian, it's like, it sounds like there's kind of a creep factor here, because it just little by little, these companies like Costco and Vroom and Carvana are just taking little bites out of the credit union service model. And then one day they'll have the whole thing. So, I mean, because I get these emails from Costco and they're very attractive and they're very like, wow, I want to check into that. I want to see what that's all about. So I can see the temptation here. So Jack, do you have anything to add on that front as well? Or
well, I think Brian did a great job of explaining it, but like you, I see the credit unions have seen kind of mission creep, you know, from other organizations that are getting involved in a wonderful way, you know, helping credit union members to be able to acquire vehicles easier with less hassle, probably at a better price. You know, I get the same emails that you do, and my best friend just told me he bought his new car through Costco and how easy it was. You know, but again, it's difficult then, you know, for a large organization like Costco to deal with all the thousands of different credit unions and their individual membership requirements by community or by, you know, organization. You know, so that's where CUSOs can really help make a difference and help make sure that credit unions are still getting those loans for their members. And they're still, they're helping the members, even when a member is picking an easier way to acquire their vehicle. So yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense.
And I think if I could jump back in, Mike, really quickly, I think that's a key point, is that the CUSOs originating and holding like auto loans or unsecured loans or something of that sort, the idea is not for these, just like in the mortgage arena today or that loan type today, the objective is not for the CUSO to be a lender and to have this big portfolio of auto loans or big portfolio of mortgage loans. The key is to make that CUSO able to facilitate, as we've been describing, so that these loans don't go outside the credit union industry, right? I mean, indirect lending, as an example again, was something that was almost innovated in the credit union space so that credit unions wouldn't lose loans when consumers started just worrying about financing while they were at the dealership.
Yep, yep.
And now we're in a situation where we don't want credit unions to lose those loans when they're at Costco or at, you know, going on to their app to look at Vroom and see what's available. So mm-hmm. I think the key here is it's not that that CUSOs are going to be looking to be lenders and build these big portfolios of loans now that they have this, you know, this power. It's more just facilitating and making it more efficient for credit unions to remain right in these lending types.
Right. That's the name of the game for sure. Efficiency today. I want to switch gears to the NCOA board. When they went through their board meeting, there was actually, it was 2-1. And the lone dissenter at the time was now Chairman Todd Harper. At the time, though, he wasn't chair. He was board member when this vote passed. So now that he's chair, does this have, and he's the lone dissenter on this, he was calling this, it's not quite ready for prime time. It's kind of a wild west. Those were things that I read in stories according to him. So what's your take on this? Just looking at the other side of the coin here. Jack, you want to go, or Brian, you want to go first on this one?
Yeah, I'll jump in really quickly. Thanks. Sure. Thanks, Mike. So it's very interesting. I mean, obviously politics is interesting, and,
oh, yeah,
and I'm far from an expert on politics and, you know, the reasons really behind why, you know, now Chairman Harper did dissent and, you know, gave some commentary that seemed, you know, sort of these broad hyperbolic sort of statements about the rule without mm-hmm. really any kind of commentary about the specifics of the rule and why he was against it. It was more sort of, you know, it's a, like, as you mentioned, a wild west and something of that sort. But I think the most important thing to think about when we're sort of thinking of the context of that commentary is that CUSOs have been lending in these, you know, certain loan types like mortgages and business loans and student loans and credit card loans for decades now. And, you know, to suddenly think that this rule change is going to create the Wild West mm-hmm. is somewhat dubious, because the you know, lending is already happening at CUSOs. And I didn't hear any cites or specifics about, you know, any kind of Wild West behavior in the mortgage loan type,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's sort of suspect to say that that this is somehow going to create this regulatory Wild West or this regulatory void, mm-hmm. you know. The truth is that CUSOs have been lending in this space for a long time. And it also really truly points to this idea that that somehow these loans would be unregulated altogether because the NCOA somehow doesn't have vendor authority, which is what Chairman Harper had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, I was actually just talking to somebody yesterday specifically about the auto loans, but I was just talking to someone yesterday who was saying, you know, we're an indirect lending CUSO. We help credit unions to get indirect loans. We actually are regulated by the state. We have to get an auto sales financing license in the different states we operate in. And the funny thing is, right now, under the regulations from the NCUA, they have a license to loan in each of these states, because that's what that license, you know, gives them. And that's what that regulatory, you know, scope gives them the authority to do. But under NCUA regs, they can't loan. So they're really being scrutinized as if they're a lender, and they're not even allowed to lend in the first place. It's kind of silly, really.
Yeah, that's a kind of an interesting twist there. But it sounds like there's already checks and balances in place. So, Jack, what's your take on that? Because will this have any bearing on the end result here, or should we wait till the end of the 30-day comment period to even go down that road?
Well, from my perspective, and Brian really covered it very, very well, but, you know, one of the aspects of this, you know, that could be a concern if it wasn't correctly already in place is the oversight of CUSOs that would be making these additional loan types. The good news is that NCUA has already got a review process in place on CUSOs. Every credit union that does business with a CUSO or that makes an investment in or owns a CUSO or even lends money to a CUSO for them to operate has an agreement with that CUSO to allow the NCUA to be able to examine that CUSO, look at their books and records, all that kind of stuff. So there's already a very good oversight in place. The NCUA, as part of their CUSO rule back, I think it was the end of 2013 in November, that they adopted the provision that set up the actual CUSO, what do they call it, Brian?
The registry.
Yes, thank you. The CUSO registry. You know, so they have a complete registry of all CUSOs in the country, the types of things that they're doing. They have the ability to be able to look at CUSOs. You know, one of the largest indirect CUSOs that I've talked to has been having regular NCUA reviews and exams every year since that was put in place. So there is good oversight in place already. So, you know, as this rule moves forward to be able to allow our CUSOs to be able to help in the lending process and bring efficiencies, there is appropriate oversight that's already in place. It's been working. You know, the NCUA has that in place today. We do think one of the critical things, as you mentioned, Mike, in the, you know, kind of where we stand on it, there's a 30-day comment period once this appears in the Federal Register, which is brief. We do feel it's important that those who want to be able to have the option to be able to use a CUSO to be able to help them with these other loan types, that they comment on that and let the UNCA know that they see that this is advantageous, that it will help their members, it will help them to lower costs, it will help them to be able to obtain and leverage innovative new technologies to better serve their members. You know, all those are things that we think that are appropriate and make sense to help the board to understand where the industry comes out on this. And, you know, whether they feel it's appropriate or not, we obviously feel it is. We feel that it's something that will help the industry and help in, credit union members by bringing these additional benefits to those credit unions that want to take advantage of this. And again, no credit union has to do their loans through a CUSO.
Sure. It's optional. Right. Yeah, exactly. And you kind of stole my thunder on my next question there, Jack. I was going to say, hey, what are next steps? What can credit unions do to, I guess, move this forward if they want to, that type of stuff. So I guess the steps right now are add your comments.
Exactly.
Okay. So
a comment letter is totally the right thing to do. Ideally, in fact, one of the things that we have seen is the comment letters go into a single repository if you send it in electronically, you know, at the NCUA, and that's available, you know, online. It'll tell you where in the Federal Register when it appears to send your comments. But we do think it's a very good idea to send a copy to each of the NCUA board members. Mm-hmm. They don't actually see the individual letters. They just get a synopsis of the letters from their regulatory group that oversees that process. So if you write a comment letter, go ahead and copy, you know, Chairman Harper, board member Rodney Hood, and Vice Chair Hauptman, and let them know what your feelings are on this. That way everybody sees and understands kind of where the industry stands on this issue, because that's the appropriate next step. That's really what has to happen next. And we think it'll be helpful. Just register your feelings on this and let the board know.
Yeah, this is your opportunity to have your voice heard. So get out there and shout from the mountaintops, as they say. All right, guys. Anything else to add here?
Yeah, I would just add to that.
Go ahead, Brian.
You know, even if you're just going to be reiterating what you've heard today in your comment because you agree with it, it's important to make that comment heard to the board. You know, if they see a stack of comments, you know, this high on their desk, you know, they understand that this rule is important to the industry, and they're gonna spend time and effort to get it right. So it's important to make sure that your comments are heard.
Yeah, the more there are, the bigger impact it will be, for sure. Good stuff. All right, Jack, anything else you want to add?
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Thank you, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, guys. Well, I'll let you get back to work. Appreciate the time as always, and be well, be safe. And again, thanks for your expertise on this.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.